they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Our guest this morning is Nick Begich, and Nick has called, and we've talked many times about harp. Nick is one of the country's leading experts on the HARP program, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, which is a government program that's used for all sorts of nefarious purposes, altering the weather so they can be beamed at individuals, can act or in areas, can alter the way we think. Massive amounts of electromagnetic energy being beamed into certain areas. But I don't think Nick wants to talk about that today. Nick, how are you this morning, and where are we going?
Well, I'm doing great this morning, and it's good to be with you, Dr. Stan. I'm here in my my home in Alaska this morning, and it's, you know, we cover a lot of issues over the years, and you know, one of the things that actually a good starting point might be HARP. You know, one of the attributes of HARP that seems to me was missed by a lot was this idea of using radio frequency energy for geophysical probing, looking deep into the earth for underground oil and gas, mineral structures, this kind of thing. And, you know, actually this was proven up in the mid-90s to be extremely efficient with HARP, so you could actually utilize it for that purpose. And then when you think about where it's located here in Alaska, the idea of being able to look at this state, look at this region, and see exactly what we have, and for instance, energy resources, Alaska represents approximately 20% of all of the landmass in the United States. It represents more continental shelf, which again is potential oil basin, particularly here in Alaska. More oil basin than anywhere else in the country today. And so a huge resource, not much infrastructure, and we hear, you know, quite a bit and have heard for the last 4 years a lot about building infrastructure, but there's no real cohesive plan. You know, here we have all these national treasures totally removed from our manufacturing markets and our possibilities only for lack of infrastructure, really the national treasury that remains here in Alaska.
Well, certainly we know that they have massive oil supplies off the North Shore, but of course it's not to the advantage of the oil companies to develop it because, of course, there'd be oversupply and the price would come down. So
right.
They always find means and working through their agents in government and in the environmental movement, which is largely funded by large oil, why, of course, they're able to stop development, not only for themselves, but for others. And every time they want to develop, they just have their environmental agents back off, and they develop new areas. Right now,
well, and, you know, here in Alaska, that certainly has happened. You know, the environmental movement's been a major obstacle for getting a lot of things done. They use Alaska as sort of the fundraising project. You know, anytime they need to raise money, they pick an issue in Alaska to kind of shut us down. The thing that's happened as a result is really we've fallen way behind. When you look at Western Canada as an example, they've developed tremendous mineral, oil, and gas resources as well. And they've done it where wildlife stocks have actually increased a phenomenal amount of wildlife stocks in Western Canada, even compared to what we have here in Alaska. At the end of the day, when you look at the North Slope and what they've done up there over the last now 35 years of North Slope oil production, what many people don't realize is the pipeline that was built is only running at approximately 30% capacity. We have huge capacity even in that pipeline. We have oil and gas on the North Slope, but it's not being moved through Alaska lines. And you're exactly right, Dr. Stan, it's being done to drive the price up, to exploit other markets in the third world, and kind of keep this as sort of the safety deposit box for multinational companies so they can come by here after they've screwed us down on our taxes low enough to where they can make the absolute optimum profits. And that's what they've done. They've leveraged Alaska against other oil regions, keeping us sort of in the safety deposit box for the future, at the same time not really giving any consideration to national oil independence or perhaps some of our national objectives in terms of economics. Oil and energy today in the 21st century is what determines what governments are strong and powerful. Technologies, oil and gas, or energy, these are the combinations in the 21st century.
I agree with you. Go right ahead, Nick.
Well, you know, I think one of the other major misses, you know, when you think about arable land that, you know, now we're facing a drought in the United States. Major portion of our arable land is, you know, not being produced. We're going to have huge inflation in food commodities as we move forward into the next year. And again, here in Alaska, we have tremendous resources, undeveloped resources in agriculture, although we've done some attempts over the years to develop agricultural lands. A lot of people don't know this, but Alaska is known for some of the largest vegetables ever grown in the world, world record sizes. We have potential here that, again, is largely unnoticed, untapped, and, you know, far removed from most people's consciousness about what's going on within the United States. You know, having lived here, you know, my family's been here since the mid-50s. We've watched Alaska grow since before statehood. And I can tell you, just in where we're positioned, look at the Pacific Rim. Think about the Arctic Ocean trade routes opening up as we continue to see changes in the North Pacific. Taking a look at where we estimate 25% of all the remaining oil and gas in the world is yet to be discovered is off the coast of Alaska in the northern regions of the United States and the northern regions of the world. Incredibly important area for what happens next, so to speak, and the opportunities for Americans to start moving commodities back into the Midwest is certainly possible. If we could do something as simple as link a railroad, something most people don't realize, but just to link a railroad to Alaska to bring our natural resources into those markets.
But of course, everything is being done to block this. There have been efforts to have oil brought in through a line through Canada, and that's been blocked by the Obama administration. Everything has been done to block building new pipelines. They know exactly what they're doing, and of course, they want the artificial shortages. When you understand that, you understand why it is that certainly Canada has massive supplies of oil they'd love to sell to us, and we won't allow them to build the pipeline, so they're selling it to China. Everything done to hurt America to build up our adversaries.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and you know, we hear all this talk about, oh, we want America to be energy independent, and that, of course, is simply for the simple folks out here to really believe that people in, who are in positions of power really want energy independence. We've done everything we could to discourage energy independence so we could send our wealth overseas to China and to other countries to build up their economies and destroy ours. And when you understand the concept of creative destruction, create this new global society and, of course, destroy the old one, so much of what's going on begins to make sense. So they say one thing, and yet they do everything to discourage oil. We have more oil in America and natural gas than any other place in the world. And so what do? Well, we send our money to Saudi Arabia. We send our money all throughout the world so we can purchase oil when we have adequate supplies that are actively discouraged. And that's why, of course, the big oil has financed the environmental movement so that they can suppress the development here and in Alaska. But you go right ahead, Nick.
Yeah, you know, going back in time a little bit, you know, my father was in the United States Congress back in 1972, and you know, that we had a couple big issues in Alaska at the time. We had the Alaska oil pipeline, which was pending. We had discovered oil on the North Slope in 1969, and the issue was we didn't settle the indigenous land claims here, so we couldn't give a clear right-of-way to the oil industry. So the native land claims had to be settled first, something that had been hanging on since before statehood. It got settled in 1972, and then as a consequence, the pipeline issue came up. And that was, you know, around the time of the oil embargo. Many will remember this, the first Arab oil embargo where oil prices went up, gas lines formed. People don't really remember this, but she'd been around a while, but the point was, energy was a major issue. The cartel, OPEC, had gotten formed. Things were changing internationally. Oil was starting to move. That tie vote, after Watergate had started to brew, the tie vote was broke in the U.S. Senate by Vice President Agnew at the time. A vice president could break a 50-50 tie in the Senate. The oil pipeline was approved and began to move forward. And really, Alaska's history changed, the nation's history has changed, as finally landlocked oil in the North Slope of Alaska was being brought to market. In 1977, the oil started to flow. It was estimated to only be able to produce 1 billion barrels. You know, the typical USGS, United States Geological Survey estimates, are always pretty low. You know, in fact, we've already produced 14 billion barrels, 14 times as much oil from the North Slope, even though the production is down to a third of what it was at its peak. There's plenty of oil on the North Slope. The problem is many of the oil fields leased to the oil industry never had any production requirements. In other words, they could warehouse the oil. They didn't have any requirement to ever produce it, and they could just keep these leases from year to year, decade to decade, and not do anything. Now,
and keep other people from developing them. See, that's what it's
right.
really all about, ladies and gentlemen. You
yep.
warehouse it, you keep other people from having access to that oil, and you have artificial shortages so you can keep the price up. That's how the system really works. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, and you know, the shortage analogy for Alaska and for the world on most natural resources, I strongly disagree with it. It's a controlled development for certain in terms of how they go, how prices are maintained. You can even go back to the beginning of Alaskan history, you know, back when copper, as an example, was discovered in the Kennecott region. The Guggenheim family that at the time, prior to World War One and World War Two, locked up most of the big copper resources around the world with the financing of J.P. Morgan and others. When they had competition, for instance, here in Alaska, they got to a point in production where they had discovered new rich deposits in Latin America where labor was plentiful by comparison to Alaska. And so to keep competition out here in Alaska from continuing to produce along the Kennecott Mineral Belt, the Guggenheims literally lifted up the railroad track, the track they had originally built for a railroad that was to be shared as a common carrier, pulled the track up, took it to Latin America and built railroads there and shut out American suppliers. Now that goes back to the 1920s, 1930s, when all that was happening. But the same thing happens today. You know, there are some mineral deposits moving forward. In fact, it's primarily international, multinational companies coming in now. Over 20 major mining projects are being looked at, and a few have gotten off the ground. I managed to actually make it through all the environmental hurdles. One was the Red Dog Mine, which is a zinc producer above the Arctic Circle, producing up to 6% of the global zinc concentrate in the world. I mean, that's a tremendous mine most people don't even know exists, existing in a place where the port isn't even open half the year. You know, it's iced in. The ocean port is iced in and in that region of our state. The other is Greens Creek in southeast Alaska. This is a silver mine, one of the top 10 silver producers in the world. Most people don't know it exists. When you look at some of the other deposits that are being considered here, one of the largest gold deposits, gold, molybdenum, copper combinations called the Pebble Mine, already in proven reserves, $500 billion, $500 billion in known reserves, hundreds of millions being spent on environmental research and work right now and over the last several years. But these are just a few of the mining projects, just two of these projects in terms of energy needs in order for them to get off the ground. They would consume more energy than the city of Anchorage and the city of Fairbanks, which represents over probably around 60% of our entire state population. These two mines alone will use more energy than these two cities. In fact, you add another one in and you've got as much energy as South Central and the centrally populated part of the state is generating. So huge resources are going to be used in developing these mines. Huge resources are going to be pulled out of them. And unfortunately, most of it is headed to Pacific Rim, as you say, to China, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, headed into India and Asia, as opposed to U.S. ports or Canadian ports where value added in North America could actually take place. And again, primarily for want of infrastructure. You know, once you have it on the ship, where you unload it isn't quite so relevant, except when you start to consider the value added. If we were taking this, for instance, by rail into the Midwestern United States, and utilizing our energy costs, our minerals could have substantial value added in the United States before commodities or finished goods are moved throughout the world. And we're missing those opportunities, missing them dramatic and wonderful opportunities for Americans.
But, Nick, people must understand this is not happening by accident. It is
right.
Because the people who control our government are dedicated to building up the economy of the rest of the world. It's about globalism. It's about building up the economy of China and building up the economy of India and building up the economy in Indonesia and Malaysia. And, of course, to do this, to create this new global society, they have to destroy the old one, creative destruction. That's what it is. That's what's going on today. but they can't tell the simple American people, we've got to lower their living standards and impoverish the American people so we can build up the rest of the world. When you understand that, everything going on makes sense. If you look at it otherwise, you shrug and you say, gee, why would President Obama, you know, block the development of that oil pipeline from the oil sands there in Alaska, in Canada, so they could bring that oil to the United States to be refined and have it readily available here, cheap oil. That's the last thing they want. And so the American people have to think, oh, gee, I just don't understand. They're not making mistakes, ladies and gentlemen. They know what they're doing. They don't want you simple people to know, because they're going to lower your living standards and impoverish you and your children. And freedom, as we've noted, will soon become simply a remembrance of things past.
Well, that's true. And if you step back, Dr. Stan, and really look at the economy in terms of the global economy in the way that these guys do, they're looking at a growing and a potential emerging middle class in countries where there are billions of potential consumers. And remember, you know, in the American economy, as it unravels, 70% of the U.S. economy was consumption, was consumers, people like you and me, buying things. 70% of the economy. Now, when you think of that same model, if you can create consumers like what happened here in the United States and the rest of the world, think of the growth potential. I mean, if you got people moving from walking to riding bicycles to mopeds to automobiles to buying houses to consuming all the things that potentially Westerners consume, these are billions of people. Now, when you look at the upside on markets, you know, from this globalist perspective, they're thinking about these developed markets in the West, like the United States, Europe, Japan. You know, they have a little bit of growth every year. You know, you talk about a fraction of a percent of growth. Well, these other economies are growing still. Even now, in this horrible global economy, they're growing 5.5 to 7%. Well, that's where the money's being made. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's where these globalists are making their money. Their biggest percentages of growth are yet to take place there. By analogy, it's like buying a stock for a penny and it going up to a dime. You know, you make 10 times your money, but you buy a stock for $100 and it goes up to 110, you make 10% of your money. Well, the Western economies are that $100 stock. There's not much growth left in them, is the way these globalists look at it. You've got penny stocks being played out in the third world, generating huge, huge profits for multinationals, and the stripping out of the economies of the West are nothing. I'm telling you, nothing compared to what the potential growth is in Asia, China, and India. And that's why these guys are doing what they're doing. They have no regard for this nation or what or an industrial base being left here to keep this country moving and strong in the way it was intended to be. It's about where the money's moving and how much of it they can move there to create what they're considering the new markets. And that's really what it's about. It's not about humans. It's not about the country. It's not about fairness in terms of how we view the world. It's about what you can get from where the most cheaply, and at the same time create a new consumer for the goods you're producing. And that's exactly what's happening. And that's why these countries are still generating growth at a time when the rest of the developed world is contracting, going the opposite way. In fact, recent reports in the U.S. press about declining incomes, not just a shortage of jobs, but the overall decline in incomes across the population. So you have two things going on. You have less people working and making any money, and those that are working are making less money than ever before. And that trend, you know, in terms of continuing down a line that has not happened. We've always had growth, but we're not having it now. We're having contraction. We're seeing it now in the numbers, and we're going to continue to see that over the next few years. And then add on to that the inflation that's caused by bad government policy relative to the money printing presses that are happening right now. Combine all these things, and it's the gutting of America, the transfer of wealth into the third world in a way that we have never seen and has really just begun, even though many have been complaining about this for, you know, now since Nixon first went into China.
And I think people, the average person, is simply confused. They don't understand what's happening. And then everything is done to entertain us, all with football and with baseball and with all these wonderful programs on television, over the Olympics, anything to distract us so we cannot see what's really going on. And that is the intentional destruction of the economy of our nation and the progressive move towards the impoverishing of the American people. And back shown that certainly the American people lost about 40% of their wealth, and we're talking about the middle class, 40% of their wealth over the last 4 or 5 years with the decline in the value of their homes, and the average individual's wealth has gone from about $140,000 down to about $77,000. That's all they have. And, of course, now with the inflation coming, and it is coming, why, of course, the value of what their holdings will be even eroded further as we intentionally are building up the living standards and the middle class in China and in India and all throughout the world. But the only way you can do that is to impoverish the public. Go ahead, the American people. Go ahead, Nick. Yeah, we'll be back in just a moment here. And if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-877-254-7524, 877-254-7524.
If you're spending hard-earned money on supplements, you need to know about BioSuperfood because you're probably shortchanging yourself on nutrition and value. If you're buying products claiming to provide DNA protection from radiation, you're getting ripped off by inferior copycat products because there's no other product developed or researched like BioSuperfood. BioSuperfood is one complete superfood product that addresses radiation poisoning, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other degenerative diseases. BioSuperfood helps digestion, decreases pain and inflammation, increases flexibility, improves heart health and brain function. It boosts your immune system and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or BioSuperfood@hotmail.com.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way. The only way they know how.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, I guess this morning, is Nick Begich from Alaska, an old friend. If you have a question or comment, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. Dick, how can people get hold of you, get to your webpage, and learn more of what you're doing?
Sure. The website is earthpulse.com. That's E-A-R-T-H-P-U-L-S-E. A little early in the morning, earthpulse.com. And the toll-free for information on our books, videos, and publications is 888-690-1277. Again, 888-690-1277 or earthpulse.com for information on our books and publications. You know, we've been, we've been doing this a long time, Dr. Stan. I know over the years we've covered a lot of issues. We've covered the HARP issue. We've covered some of the mind effects issues, some of the various technology issues. But, you know, when you think about the things that affect us every day, the economy, the things that are happening generally, and as you say, the distractions of sporting events, reality TV, the Olympics, whatever it takes to kind of take our mind off of the circumstances that we're seeing, you know, right in the middle of perhaps one of the most important election years ever. You know, as I look around the country and I look at the nature of the debate and the cry of how poor this country is, and we're really not. If you start to take stock of something different, you know, we're always looking at the, as I call it, the income statement, the money coming in, the money going out from the tax base predominantly, but we never really take a hard look at the asset base, the balance sheet, the things that are fixed in the ground, if you will, the things that we still own as a nation in common, our mineral rights, many of our public lands that have resources that can be developed. They could provide not only an engine for the economy that generates additional tax dollars in the form of income taxes and corporate taxes and so on, the royalties that come from oil and gas is an example. Most countries hang on to the vast majority of that. In fact, most even form national oil companies, and then they hire Western contractors and others to actually do the work. But the profits, the money made from the natural resources, is used for government expenses. You know, here in Alaska, we do that. In fact, we don't have a state income tax. We don't have a state property tax here for individuals. We don't have a state a tax base that's outside of what we generate from mineral and oil and gas wealth is the primary mover there. In fact, we actually take 25% of our oil and gas revenues. We put them into what we call a permanent fund since the 1980s. This money then generates revenue from investment, and then half of the revenue on a five-year sliding average they distribute to the population. So every year Alaskans will get a check for anywhere from its range from anywhere from a little less than $1,000 rather all the way up to over $3,000 in a given year, where we've received dividends and shares of our oil wealth, undistributed shares of our oil wealth in lieu of being taxed. I mean, think about that upside down equation. The balance sheet produces enough money and revenues from the leasing of oil and gas rights and the sale of oil and gas to not only pay for the state budget, but also pay for its growth, pay for the permanent fund, and pay enough to hand people who managed to endure the hard winters here a little bit of cash as an offset to things like fuel inflation and other things.
Well, I think it's so important for people throughout the country to understand we have certainly a massive socialist infrastructure here in the major part of the United States. We have a welfare state, a truly socialist state, 186 welfare programs that have to be paid for. We have Social Security, we have Medicare, we have Medicaid, 186 socialist programs, and they've all got to be paid, and they all have massive bureaucracies. And so they ever have to keep increasing the taxes, and of course when they can't do that, because the people begin to resist, and then, of course, we have to fight our wars as well.
Right.
Or they simply borrow the money to do it. And, of course, it is the massive debt incurred by our federal government that's going to destroy us. I don't think that Alaska has a massive debt, but most of our states do. Certainly our federal government does. 43 cents out of every dollar the federal government spends has to be borrowed. Why? Because they don't want to raise the taxes and get the people unhappy. In Alaska, they give people money here. We take as much as we can, and then we borrow the rest of it. to maintain this massive infrastructure of things that are totally unconstitutional and illegal, but the wicked people have gained control of our government, and I personally believe they know exactly what they're going to do, and they're going to utilize that to destroy the structure of our society and impoverish the people. Alaska is doing it exactly the opposite. They're giving people money, and here they take it away. And when they don't have enough, can't take away enough, then they simply borrow the rest, and that is a road to destruction. Go right ahead, Nick.
Absolutely does. In fact, again, it's a way to kind of balance the deck, setting up a throttle on how much money they could spend of the natural resource here by creating this fund, and then putting a way that Alaskans receive a benefit from it has actually kept the politicians from just spending it. I mean, the temptation periodically has been there, and we're one of the very few states that generates a surplus. In fact, our real estate values, they didn't continue to go up, but they didn't significantly or appreciably drop here when the rest of the economy did. We lost maybe 1-2% of real estate values while the rest of the country was, dealing with 30-50-70% drops in some parts of the country in real estate values. We didn't have that here. Now, we did have that in the mid-1980s when the rest of the country was booming and oil was hitting $10-$15 a barrel. That really hurt Alaska, but it helped the rest of the country because, again, it's cheap energy at the time, kept things moving along pretty well. Now we have the opposite situation. Alaska's doing well. Oil prices are high. And even though, as I said earlier, only a third of the amount of oil is going through the pipeline, the state of Alaska is making more money than ever before because that oil is trading at 5, 6, 7 times higher than it traditionally has. When we look at all of that and we consider just the energy component, you talked about oil and gas sands in Canada. We have even larger deposits here in the U.S. In terms of oil and gas, oil shales, tar sands, and others in Alaska and in the west coast of the United States, even the east coast, in the Marcellus formation in terms of natural gas and shales, there is still enough. In fact, U.S. domestic production has gone up in recent years because of new gas deposits and new technologies for exporting oil and gas. We're going to continue to see that, and if we could get a little more aggressive with oil independence, energy independence as a national priority, that's half of our trade deficit. Half has been to China and Asia, and the other half has been oil and gas headed the other direction towards the Middle East and Africa, and Canada as well, and Mexico, Venezuela, producing oil. We can be independent. We should be independent in energy. That gives us a foundation to build industry on, producing our own mineral wealth again. Gives us an opportunity to add value, strategically add value. And the opportunity now, I think, is shifting. China is going to see gradual increases in their labor movements there. Labor is going to go up. Alaska's and the U.S. is going to have advantage again.
Well, that's odd, Nick. We'll be back in a moment. Our number 877-254-7524.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Well, Dr. Dan, our guest this morning, Nick Begich, our telephone number 877-254-7524. And we're talking about Alaska. We're talking about energy independence. We're talking about, of course, the fact that there really is a small group of people who run our country, who run both political parties, make mockery out of the electoral process, who have a different worldview, a different goal for America. And they've utilized the wealth of America to build up nations throughout the world. And now, of course, they're in the process of undercutting the very fabric of our society. America doesn't need the rest of the world. America could be independent. America needs tariffs. We need to get away from this idea of certainly a free trade. Free trade is a free ticket to poverty and impoverishment. America has everything we need to produce the food and the energy and the products we need. Yes, they might be a little bit more expensive, but far better than that, than what is planned, and that is the creative destruction of what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Go right ahead, Nick.
You know, it's true when you start to look at all of it. You know, sometimes a few pennies here and there in price, when you preserve high-quality American jobs, is really the answer. Because what we're going to see replacing and this is, again, the trends that we're seeing in the most recent press reports, income levels are dropping. You know, we're dropping by double digits or close to double digits for elderly and a little less for more working age, less retirement age people. But we're seeing all that change, too. You know, retirement ages are being pushed out further for those that are fortunate enough to have jobs. The ability to sustain and, you know, the kind of inflation, food inflation particularly, that we're already seeing, although you don't really hear much about it, you know, except when those of us who actually have to buy groceries at the grocery store recognize that. I mean, we recognize it already. Those on fixed incomes have seen it for quite a while. But we haven't seen really anything yet. And this shift is not unintentional. I agree absolutely, Dr. Shannon. It is intentional. It is a way for the rich to get substantially richer. You know, here in the United States, the idea of even getting wealthy is everyone's dream. The idea of being self-made, creating your own enterprise. A good friend of mine, one of my close friends from Germany, is here with me today, and we were talking in the last few days about the European economy. One of the things being actually debated with a straight face in Germany is the idea of capping incomes, where if you make over 40,000 euros, that all the money, your tax rate goes to 100%. Every penny over you make goes to the government. Now, that's being actually debated with a straight face in Germany. Unfortunately, you know, in the United States, I mean, we believe in balanced taxes, and maybe wealthy should pay a little bit, at least on a par with the rest of the middle class. But the fact of taking everything 100% tax, I don't think any American, no matter what our income level with any sense, would believe that's a good idea. But the fact that even this can be discussed in parts of the Western developed world, take the incentive completely away, or as my friend says, create a sort of a synthetic sort of capitalism that's really socialism at its worst, making the what goes on in the former Soviet Union look pretty good compared to actually chopping off free enterprise at its knees and the incentive that has allowed anyone, really, in the United States to have the opportunity to gain and develop wealth. I think that's the whole point. You know, capitalism provides that opportunity. We need to do that within sensible guidelines. You know, we need to produce healthy food and healthy and safe products. But shoot, take that away, and what do you have left of our system of economics, capitalism? You have a squishy socialism with a little bit of incentive built in to keep you in line. But the wealthy, those who have already accumulated wealth, of course, would keep that wealth because it's no longer income. It's fixed assets. They get to keep their chips, but nobody else gets to get any. That's the way this politics is being debated seriously in other parts of the developed world and probably coming to a neighborhood near us, which I find highly objectionable.
You know, I'm always amazed. We hear President Obama saying, you know, shouldn't millionaires pay, you know, more? I mean, we ought to. Oh, the Republicans, they just want to keep the taxes low, you know, for the very, very wealthy. And so what we need to do is keep the maintain the tax cuts for the middle class and raise the tax cuts on the millionaires. And so everyone who's making over $250,000 a year should have their taxes increased. And, you know, I hear this, millionaires and then suddenly $250,000 a year. Well, there's a lot of difference between somebody making $1 million a year and somebody making $250,000 a year. But they talk about millionaires, and then they want to raise the taxes on everybody who makes over $250,000 to totally discourage them from trying to work and get ahead.
Yeah, and I think that's really it. You know, and if you're only driving income from dividends and capital gains, certainly. The very rich who are in that situation, they pay, you know, maybe a 15% effective rate. And that's what Romney's paid, and people get all upset about him not paying. And, hey, those are the rules. You know, those are the rules that are created out there. If we need to change the rules, then by all means, let's do it. And there maybe is a little more parity, and I agree with that. I mean, when you got middle class making 60, 70,000 a year, even, and paying 35% taxes. You know, that is a balancing act here. I mean, come on, let's all be honest about it. I think Berkshire Hathaway's founder talked about his secretary paying a higher effective tax rate than he did, and he's making, you know, billions. Yeah, okay, there is some inequity. I agree that the powerful and the wealthy has had ability to lobby Congress and get a little better deal. We need to rebalance that deck. I think rebalancing it with flat taxes that apply to corporations and individual wages is a good way to go. In fact, flat taxes that have no deductions. You know, where businesses that make money, that sell things, you know, they pay a flat tax on gross sales, billed and collected, and wages, gross wages made and paid. You know, that would be fine. But it doesn't work that way because you got all the complicated loopholes and deductions that make it an industry for tax accountants and financial wizards. But it could be a lot simpler. I think, you know, simple equations that third graders can do, you know, multiplying a decimal point against the tax rate, a gross income is pretty easy to figure out.
But
that would free up if you think about it.
They keep talking about it and talking about it. It never works out. They always come up with new loopholes for the people of great wealth because they own the government. Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Thanks for having me.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
You need to understand that you're constantly being manipulated. The way they got the income tax in back in 1913, they said, look, there are people making millions of dollars, and so the average individual isn't making that. We won't, we'll charge them 3% interest, no more. Well, we're not even going to put a cap on at 3% because we're only going to really charge them 1% the tax, and but if we put a cap of 3% on, well, we'd go to 3%. So we're not going to put a 3% tax on this, only for the millionaires. And pretty soon, everybody was being taxed with the income tax, and it was never meted for the very wealthy. They sold us the alternative minimum tax. Oh, there are all these millionaires making all this money, and they're not paying their fair share. So we're going to put the alternative minimum tax, but it's only for the millionaires. And what do you know, voila, pretty soon we're all paying the alternative minimum tax. And now they're talking, oh my goodness, Obama, we've got to tax the millionaires. Who do you think put up the $600 million that Obama utilized to win the election 4 years ago? Why, the millionaires gave him the money. So on one hand, he talks against the millionaires. On the other hand, they're funding him. And who do you think he's answerable to? You. If you believe that, you're incredibly naive. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I am not against millionaires. I'm not against people making money. I am against this cult movement that, of course, rewards people with tremendous wealth. And then, of course, they are the ones who are moving us towards the world government and the destruction of this country. I will tell you that my information suggests, and we're getting this, I think, from reliable sources, there's going to be a collapse of the dollar within a relatively few months. Make your preparations accordingly. If I'm wrong, you'll be better off having made the preparations. If I'm right, you may be able to survive when everybody else is beginning or simply loses the majority of what they have. Make your preparations now. To understand what's going on, you need to get my talk on the financial tsunami, on the financial Armageddon. They're two separate DVDs. Each one has a syllabus with us. They're made several years ago, but the information is absolutely correct. You need to get the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. It's a cheap, I think it costs less than $10. Fiat Money Inflation in France, and of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's a classic book. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember, I'll be speaking there on the 15th of September, somewhere south of Denver. That's and you'll call our 800 number to get all the details. Talk to Mr. John Malsby, who's putting the program on. That's the 15th of September. We will have our all-day conference here on the 21st of October. And, of course, we're going to bring in some great speakers. And it will go from 8 o'clock, 8:15 in the morning, until 5 to 6 in the evening. And, of course, you call to make your reservations for both programs at 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand what this is all about. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to find out who these people are who really run America and are running both Romney and Obama. And, of course, you vote for either candidate you're voting for, their candidate. You're not to be given an opportunity to have a choice. You simply are going to have two candidates, both controlled by the same people. Both of them are dedicated to globalism and, of course, internationalism and another war and ever more control over the American people. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.